Recording this episode was a very moving and emotional experience for me. Something about the journey, the mission, and compassion of our guests left me misty-eyed during the recording and again while editing the episode. This episode has two parts. In part one, we talk to Amy Peterson, the co-founder of Rebel Now, about her journey, her motivation, and inspiration that led her to start the business. What keeps her going when the times are tough? In part two, we view the business through the eyes of Rebel Now's employee, Ethel Rucker. I hope this episode has a similar impact on you.
We create a social enterprise that's dedicated to hiring women directly from the shelter. We'll teach them the skills they need. I don't want that to be a barrier to entry for them. We'll teach them everything they need. And while they're working with us, they'll get a good wage and we'll provide all the wraparound support. So we'll help them tackle the barriers that have been prohibitive in the past. And then we'll enable them to get to a place where they can breathe. And then they can start to dream about what have they always wanted to do. We're selling happiness and joy and memories and empowerment. I feel that you should feel a certain way when you wear Rebel Now.
Don't get me wrong, gig work is what it is. You know, it gives you freedom, but I needed more stable income. And she was able to link me up with Rebel Now from there, which is amazing. They know that I wanted to be a homeowner. Me and other members want to be homeowners also. They actually brought someone in to talk about the process of becoming a homeowner. So that's something that I love about Rebel Now. They're not just saying that they like to do these things, change these women's lives, and a male, because we have one male, Russell, actually change our lives and given the support that we need.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Amy Peterson, co-founder of Rebel Now, one of no other kind. She joins us from Detroit, Michigan. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Women's empowerment is in the forefront of many of our guests. Why is it so important for Rebel Now to empower women? Critics may say that there are men who experience similar hardships, addiction, incarceration. Why not support everybody? Support both.
I think for one, Rebel Now started for me is very much a personal journey and a personal desire to support women. When you look at the broad scope of inequities, women seem to be hit, and based on data as well, are hit the hardest. My journey started when I was pretty young. I wanted to be the first female general manager of a Major League Baseball team. Mm-hmm. That had never been done until last year. That was a big year for last year. And I wanted to work in baseball. So I set out to do that. And I spent 11 years working in the industry. At the time when I was working in the industry, it was not the most embracing of women with these kind of ambitions who really wanted to cross over into the good old boys club. So I think that was a big driving force. I also happened to be living next to a woman's shelter in Detroit. So it was kind of tied together, this desire to help and empower women primarily.
How high did you rise up in the ranks?
I went from an intern to being an associate general counsel for them.
Pretty impressive.
Thank you. So that was really like the impetus is my challenges in baseball alongside me living next to a shelter that was dedicated to women and families and getting to know them, and they became my neighbors. And also put it in perspective of 2012 in Detroit. I was facing one of the largest municipal bankruptcies the country had ever seen. And we could see with our eyes the resources that were being depleted. And I could see it firsthand. It was happening to this particular shelter. And so it just became this idea, this concept of, kind of that perfect storm of all those factors of, wow, what if we just created a company dedicated to women? End of story. Not saying I'm not open to men down the road, but our primary focus is always going to be women.
What were some of the striking data which kind of nudged you to start this?
You know, so many women in Detroit particularly are faced with homelessness. So often it is single mothers who are, you know, head of households. And it's just, I think for me, the biggest lesson that I learned is how we're all so similar in the world and in general. And there is just small degrees of separation that separates opportunities and exposure, for lack of a better wording. And I was grateful that I grew up with a support system around me that when I had tough times, I was fortunate enough to be able to rely on them. How challenging the world can be if you don't have that support system. And that was a lot of what I was seeing firsthand, is these incredible women, and many of them left challenging situations in search of a better opportunity, not only for themselves, but for their families. And that meant leaving situations that maybe they were comfortable in, or maybe they had to sacrifice their house because we were in the midst of a recession. So many different things where you don't have a support system, it's pretty quickly to fall pretty hard and pretty fast. And it really broke down a big misconception for me, too, about women being homeless. That was a lesson that I needed to see and I needed to learn.
So did you volunteer in the homeless shelter? How were you involved?
I actually just would talk to them. Literally, they were my friends. I would chat with them when I went out walking my dog. I lived right next door. When I had the concept for the business, I wanted to make sure this was an actual need. I went in and I met with the heads of the shelter and I said, I have this idea. Hear me out. What do you think of this concept where we create a social enterprise that's dedicated to hiring women directly from the shelter? We'll teach them the skills they need. I don't want that to be a barrier to entry for them. We'll teach them everything they need. And while they're working with us, they'll get a good wage and we'll provide all the wraparound support. So we'll help them tackle the barriers that have been prohibitive in the past, and then we'll enable them to get to a place where they can breathe, and then they can start to dream about what have they always wanted to do. When you're living in such a scramble mentality, living paycheck to paycheck and not getting the opportunity to focus on yourself because the opportunities aren't there, you don't get the chance to really dream. So that is a lot of what we have focused on in the past. The women were with us for approximately 2 years. The first is tackling those barriers. And then the second part is, now that you can breathe, whatever you wanted to do, and how do we get you closer to that goal? Overall, I think we do an amazing job of doing a really deep dive for the women who come into the Rebel Nell family and kind of seeing them through to the next phase.
You were doing this while you were still working for the baseball company?
Yes, I never thought that this would be a full-time job. I actually thought it would just be a passion project, something that I love to do on the side, because after all, I had reached my dream of working in sports. But then it became, I often refer to it as an internal tug that I was ignoring, trying to quiet, getting it to go away, but it was became all I was really thinking about. And then for me, it was a matter of, wow, could I do this full-time? Was I willing and able to let go of my ego? You know, was a lot of it to go pursue this, but I just feel so driven to have more of an impact and to, you know, we know that what we're doing works. If I were to go full time, could we do it even more? So although the company started in 2013, I really only came in full time in the middle of 2018.
So do you have a background in fashion design, retail?
Nope. But my business partner does, which is really helpful. We are a great dynamic duo, we like to say. I'm just more of the crazy brain, the crazy ideas. She's the one that has the real skills with the retail, and she's the yin to my yang. And she went to school for fashion merchandising. She actually took some jewelry classes. I used to make jewelry when I was in law school. We openly admit this. To call either one of ourselves actual jewelry artisans is a disservice to those who are actual jewelry artisans. I had the concept for the product. We wanted to do something that is also environmentally proactive in the sense that we repurpose material. So we collect items that would otherwise be discarded and we preserve them as memories. So I just had the concept for turning discarded material into jewelry. And so we use a lot of fallen graffiti has been a big item for us that we repurpose.
You were ahead of most people because in 2021, all I hear about is sustainability. COP26 is happening today as we record this episode. Biden administration is talking about other sustainability goals for America. How did you even think about sustainability? How did you think it would be? Probably you were a mindful person. You were conscious and in those days, eco-friendly person. But how did you know that your customers would even understand or appreciate it?
Ah, such a fantastic question. Whether or not my customers would appreciate it, I don't think we did enough market research when we started. I think we really went off of our gut. And, you know, I encourage a lot of small businesses to start this way too, is get in front of a test audience. Like, a lot of people have great ideas, but they may actually be crazy. I still sometimes think our idea is crazy to turn, you know, repurposed material that some people may consider trash, but we think it's so beautiful to repurpose it. You know, do an event in front of your friends or our local art fair just to test it. And when we did that in 2013, the response was overwhelming. And that was what we needed to believe in ourselves, that we really had this idea, because you're right. And we don't give ourselves enough credit for that. But we built a triple bottom line company, which is now the new buzzword. This, what we started out to do in 2013. And I'm not by any means saying we were the first, but it was not a popular, I had never heard of it until recently.
And then you realized that you were doing this since 2013.
Yes. In fact, I was on a panel with a bunch of, you know, automakers the other day, and here they're all talking about trying to pivot into being really sustainable. And I'm like, where have you guys been? Someday we'll get to that scale. I would love it.
So what do you use to make your products?
A lot of what we use is, for example, with the graffiti, we have a really strict no peel policy. We actually wait till it falls on the ground and then we go pick it up, or we have people pick it up for us and send it to us. It's been really beautiful. Some of our collaborations that we've done in other cities, because it's been really crowdsourced. People have just sent us material that they found while they were out walking their dog with a note that says, found this while I was out. I love everything about you guys. I hope you can do some great, you know, good with this. And that's actually how we did our Chicago graffiti collection. It's all just found by people. So we ask that no one touches the walls, they wait till it falls off. Mother Nature will do the trick when it's required. Mm-hmm. Then the other fun thing too is we really understand that a lot of our jewelry and our pieces are about preserving memories. And that has opened a bunch of different doors for us. And we've been partnering with sports teams. If they're demolishing an arena or a stadium, we've been able to take scraps and turn it into special collections for the fans. Most recent one we did, many people know the Sound of Motown, a wonderful export from Detroit. And the Motown Museum, based here in the city, they're undergoing construction. They found a bunch of old albums. Mm-hmm. And we were able to repurpose those into a really cool and beautiful collection. So that's the fun part. Look at the world with different eyes after working at Rebel Nell, because you can see so much opportunity with stuff that's often wasted.
Talked about Chicago. Did you make any with the rebels of the Soldiers Field?
Not yet, but that's a great idea.
Yes.
Who's ever listening on this podcast, send the people our way.
How did you understand or even experiment to figure out how to make these pieces of paint, peeled off chips, durable?
Great, because that is one that sometimes I look at it and it's so beautiful. Each piece is so truly beautiful. And that's why our tagline is one of no other kind, because each piece truly is one of a kind. We can't recreate it just because of the nature of the material. It's all really individual. But we also think that each piece is really special, not only because of the cross section, but because of the woman who made it and the vision that she had for it. Our creative design team gets to be incredibly creative with each piece that they make. And that's part of the journey of Rebel Nell, and works on building their confidence. But how the original one started, I was running one day and I saw some graffiti on the ground and I thought, just as a piece alone, it looked really cool. You could see the different layers of paint. I turned it on its side and you could see the history of it, you know, how many people have painted on that little chunk. I thought, wow, that's really unique, but how do we expose all the layers? How do we tell the story of this little piece? Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was so cool just because of the layers. And again, put in perspective of Detroit in 2012, 2013, Detroit was being written off by the world. It was so discarded and a city not worth visiting. And here it is, this beautiful city that's made up of incredible ideas and people and history. And I thought, well, this is so symbolic, this little piece, this little chunk of graffiti. So we went home and I called my business partner. I said, come over. I've got an idea. I want to turn this into wearable art. How do we do this? And so we started playing around and the first pieces were absolute crap, but we kept prototyping and kept trying and ultimately have the beautiful pieces that we have today.
Explain to me, if you are able to, the process. I saw some videos on your website where you're sanding the little fragments.
Yep. So it comes in.